I'm Bruce Wingus. I'm president of the Akron Press Club and editor of the Akron Beacon Journal. I want to welcome you to this year's State of the School speech. Before we get started, I just have a couple of things to share. First, thanks for coming out today. By attending these lunches, you're taking part in a dialogue that's so important in moving our community forward. Also, your support helps fund scholarships for journalism students and young communication professionals. Next month, on March 11th, we have Congressman Tim Ryan coming for our press club lunch. In April, we're planning a panel discussion on the issue of immigration. In Summit County, Eileen Shapiro's State of the County address will be August 29th. Details of these events can be found on our website, akronpressclub.org, as they become available. You can also get information about joining the press club, which I would encourage everybody here to do. It'd be great if everybody joined today. As is the tradition of the press club, we will have time for questions after the speech. There's white cards on your table. Just fill them out, and someone will be around to pick them up. Now on to today's speaker. Akron Public School Superintendent David James is responsible for more than 21,000 students and 3,000 employees. The district includes 45 schools and community learning centers. In partnership with the LeBron James Family Foundation, Akron Public Schools opened the I Promise School this past year. Schools based on the foundation's existing I Promise network programs, and they've helped more than 1,300 Akron area grade school students in the past 7 years. Also, the transformation of the college and career academies has made significant progress in the past year in the public schools. All ninth graders are enrolled in Freshman Academy, where students can make informed decisions about selecting the academy that they want to study during their sophomore and junior years. David is a graduate of John Adams High School up in Cleveland, Cleveland State University, where he received his bachelor's and master's degrees. He joined the Akron School District in 1992, became executive director for business affairs in 2002, and superintendent in 2008. Please welcome David James to the Akron Press Club.
Well, good afternoon. First thing is that this is the last time that Bruce will be introducing me, because I believe his last day on the job is Friday, of all things. I think he deserves a round of applause. And again, welcome to our annual State of the Schools address. Again, I'd like to thank the Akron Press Club for serving as the annual sponsor for this event, and again to Tangier for hosting us. I'd like to acknowledge our school board members here today, Reverend Dr. Curtis T. Walker Sr., Tim Miller, Vice President, Bruce Alexander, Ginger Baylor, Patrick Bravo, Morgan Lasher, and Lisa Mansfield. If there are, thank you. If there are any former board members in our audience, please stand and be recognized. I would also like to take a brief moment of silence to remember former board member Betty Dalton, who had passed away this past summer. Thank you. And our elected officials, Mayor Dan Horgan's here with us today. And I believe Sherrod Brown's office is represented. If there are any elected officials, please stand and be recognized. And I also, which I do every year, recognize some of our students who are here with us today. And we have quite a few. We have our student ambassadors who help many of you to your seats. New this year, we have student representatives to our Board of Education. And please stand. And my superintendent seminar students as well. And our student performers this year, again, are from Bucto CLC, the jazz band, the Key of G's, under the direction of Kevin Calavan. So it seems like a game show line, but do you know what a tagline is? You know, like just do it, or with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. Those are taglines, and it's not so much about what you do, but it's about who you are. So at Akron Public Schools, our tagline is connecting community to the classroom. And we created it when we began to extend our reach further into our city and community as we engage our college and career academies of Akron transformation. This tagline also celebrates the many ways our community enhances learning opportunities for our students. And your volunteerism, mentorship, experiential learning opportunities, financial contributions, and partnerships provide our students with meaningful relationships and support. These community connections number in the hundreds, and we are grateful for every contribution made for the benefit of our students. This year, my speech is going to be a little different than the last 10. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll be much shorter, but you may be happy to hear that it won't focus as much on facts and figures. You'll have that information at your tables in the form of this booklet. This year, I want to talk about many of you. Last year, I spoke about moving the needle and how many of our community partners have implemented programs that are helping to do just that, in assisting our students as they reach for success. This is important because the social, emotional, behavioral, economic, and physical health, and a host of other factors can prevent our students from reaching their true potential. I happen to believe that our entire community must wrap its arms around our young people and that their education is everyone's business. Last year was also a very humbling time for me. I know that some of you thought my speech was going to be my last speech or my farewell speech. Well, it wasn't. And though tempted to go elsewhere, it was, you know, and you all did this to me, something in me did not sit right. So I decided to stay, and it became clear that this has been the right decision. I had, thank you. I had to weigh the wonderful team that I have in Akron Public Schools, an active and engaged school board, an enthusiastically supportive community with some very, very special partners, and the impactful work that continues to this very day. Several respected leaders also provided some helpful insight and enlightened me from a different perspective. So I would like to thank Bill Considine, Don Taylor, and Marco Somerville, who kind of read me the riot act separately, but each of you helped me see things in a different perspective, especially as it relates to our community and our families and all 21,000 of my kids. My board members as well, you were very patient and understanding during a very challenging time, especially looking at the prospect of starting the search for a replacement, so I thank you for your support. My staff, some who tried to bribe me with chocolate, when I decided to stay, they arranged a celebration without my knowledge. And, you know, if they know, I don't like mysteries after I decided to stay here. So I want to say thank you for making me realize that this is home. And not just in the physical sense, but in the terms of this very special community that we call Akron. Thank you. But probably my better half said it best on a drive back from Columbus from my last interview, but there are kids in the room, so I can't make a comment about that. At any rate, 2018 was a whirlwind of activity. And now I don't know about you, but trying to bring even more exciting partnerships and opportunities for our students and community is really, truly difficult. However, each year we seem to exceed the previous one. Now, our role as a school district is to educate students so they are prepared for the future, not the world that I grew up in. In the 1960s and 70s, we had our version of societal change, the civil rights movement maturing, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, the assassination of some of our great leaders, and the demise of jobs that provided opportunities for our parents to be better off than their parents, and more opportunities for people like me to go get a post-secondary education. That world was not perfect by any means, but there were opportunities for those who were willing to put in the hard work. It was also a time when our economy and our communities began to change. The jobs that replaced many of the factory positions that were gone required higher levels of education and technical skills. But many jobs that replaced those that were lost paid a lot less. Since the time I graduated from high school in 1980, the world has changed even more. This past year, the Fund for Our Economic Future issued a report entitled The Two Tomorrows. And that report summarized that everyone in our region has not accessed the full benefits of our economy, particularly in our minority populations, and especially in the areas of educational attainment and workforce training. This is important to our community as we work to keep and attract jobs here, help entrepreneurs start businesses here, and grow our economy in general. So we must ensure that our economy grows in ways that everyone benefits. The City of Akron, the Greater Akron Chamber, Summit County, along with GAR Foundation, developed our own version called Elevate Akron, a plan to address many of the same issues that were outlined in the Two Tomorrows report. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, is this an economic development speech or a speech about education? Well, in my mind, economic development and the success of our community go hand in hand with education. It's all about education. And education forms the foundation for the talent that is required to support local business and our local economy. Both rely on talent pipelines that span preschool, K-12, and post-secondary education. Today, we can no longer look at these systems as separate. They form a continuum. And our job is to collaborate so our children are successful in reaching their career ambitions. As a public school district, we have to do things differently. We are no longer an island all to ourselves. Our organization must remain focused on student success by becoming more flexible and more engaged with our community and using our resources in an efficient manner so we can become the best urban school district in the country. Thank you. On August 1st, I began my 11th year as superintendent. That's 11 years facing many challenges. And none has been more critical than leading our efforts to manage the district so needed resources can be used to support our teachers and students as we transform into the talent pipeline that our economy needs. And so we have consolidated schools to maximize efficiency and effectiveness. We knew also that we had to maximize the efficiency of our smaller, multiple administration buildings spread across the city. So in April, we purchased the office building on the corner of Main and Market Streets to consolidate our administration footprint. 10 North Main formerly housed SumaCare. We are in the process of moving out of the Sylvester Small Administration Building and the Conrad Ott Staff Development Center. And today I'm happy to report that we will be ready to move into our new location during the week of April 22nd, which is our spring break. And the staff located at the Conrad Ott Development Center will move in after our current school year ends in June. Now, this move will not only transform the Akron Public Schools, but will provide an economic boost, I think, to the northern edge of downtown as well. Because as part of the move, we provided much-needed parking for United Way by transferring our parking lot at 70 North Broadway to Summit County so it can become part of the Sojourner Truth building, which is now owned by United Way. In addition, we traded our vacant Perkins Middle School property with the City of Akron for the parking around the 10 North Main building. The City of Akron then is planning a new housing development at the Perkins site in cooperation with East Akron Community Development Corporation. And our properties at 70 North Broadway and 65 Steiner Avenue could eventually be sold and potentially be converted into condos or apartments, increasing the number of downtown housing units. Now, I believe that these investments on behalf of the Akron Public Schools United Way, the City of Akron, and Summit County are good for downtown and our city in general. And none of this will be possible without our school board, our mayor, Dan Horrigan, County Executive Eileen Shapiro, and United Way CEO Jim Mullen. Each approached this project with a collaborative spirit that this community is known for, and they deserve a round of applause. Now, this relocation allows our organization to focus on our core mission to serve students and their families. It also gives us the opportunity to operate more effectively by having our entire central office in one place. By moving, we are avoiding significant building and repair and upgrade costs for 70 North Broadway and 65 Steiner Avenue, properties that could total several million dollars each. In late spring, we'll dedicate our new home as the Sylvester Small Administration Building, and the second floor of that building will be dedicated as the Conrad C. Ott Staff Development Center. The board and I feel that these are definitely fitting tributes. In addition, having our central office in one location will allow us to go deeper as a cohesive, collaborative team to support creative educational partnerships such as those associated with our college and career academies of Akron. Throughout my speech today, you are going to hear about major accomplishments at the elementary, middle school, and high school levels as we transform all of our schools using the college and career academy model. Starting with our high schools, I am pleased to announce that we have met all of the timelines outlined in our 200-page master plan, and we are ready to launch our academies this August in every one of our high schools. Now, this means that every 10th through 12th grader in the district will be selecting one of 57 career pathways. Students will also be able to earn industry credentials and college credits in these pathways before they graduate. These pathways are aligned with our regional talent needs, including nursing, advanced manufacturing, pre-med, teaching, engineering, technology, construction, and many more. We have already seen the positive benefits of our first named academy partnership with Akron Children's Hospital at North High School. 2 years ago, Bill Considine joined me on the stage to announce the Akron Children's Hospital's Academy of Health and Human Services. Our partnership between Kent State University and Firestone CLC continues to provide opportunities for our students we could only have dreamed about years ago. This year, we celebrated two sister university partnerships with the University of Akron and Stark State College. The University of Akron has formalized its longstanding partnership with Akron Public Schools to become a sister university for the Akron Early College High School, the National Inventors Hall of Fame STEM High School, and Ellett High School. And by the way, the Akron Early College High School, based on the latest state performance indicator ratings of student achievement, is ranked the highest among the public high schools here in Summit County. So, Principal Cheryl Connolly, thank you. We're very proud. Stark State College has signed on to become a sister university partner to Kenmore Garfield High School. So thank you, Dr. Green, Dr. Beverly Warren, and Dr. Para Jones, for your leadership and partnership. Our local companies, both large and small, have also stepped up to the plate to help our students get on the road to a bright future. Bridgestone Americas celebrated the opening of the Firestone Complete Auto Care Center at ECLC in our automotive technology program as part of the Bridgestone Academy of Applied Engineering and Technology. Summa Health is a named partner with Buchtel CLC in the Summa Academy of Leadership and Innovation. And at ECLC, we also have the Key Bank Academy of Business and Health. Goodyear continues its longstanding partnership with our National Inventors Hall of Fame STEM Middle School and STEM High School. And we hope you noticed the video monitors as you were coming in and eating your lunch, where we shared with you the names of our many official partners and other companies and organizations that are teaming up with Akron Public Schools to connect community to the classroom. Thank you. And just to remind everyone, our College and Career Academy program is a partnership with Ford Next Generation Learning. Their executive director, Cheryl Carrier, is a great partner, and we really thank them for their support. And by the way, I also want to acknowledge our Akron Education Association president, Pat Scheip. This week, we've reached agreement with the association on several issues related to our College and Career Academy work. These items include class scheduling, professional development needs, and academy team meetings to support the work. Pat, I'd like to thank you for your leadership and co-chairing the transformation team that's leading to all these internal shifts in instruction and services to our students. Thank you. This transformation team, in fact, has been a model of collaborative leadership for our district, for the state of Ohio, and for Ford Next Generation Learning's network of 36 school districts across the country. As we continue to add partners, stay tuned for our next significant College and Career Academy partnership announcement happening next week. You may have received an email, and I can't go into more details. I've been threatened with bodily harm because they don't want to take away from this event today, but I'll tell you it involves one of the most valuable community resources that we have in this region. Now, as we further expand our College and Career Academy transformation, we are also aligning our elementary and middle school programs to support student success. So College and Career Academies will soon cover all grades, not just high school, and that's exciting news for us, more off-campus education. But as has become tradition at this speech, we have some breaking news, and it concerns our long-standing and fruitful relationship with GAR Foundation. And so I don't steal their headline. I'm going to simply ask GAR Foundation President Christine Mayer and Senior Vice President Kirsten Toth to come up, take the mic for an exciting announcement concerning some of our youngest students.
Good afternoon. So Superintendent James has been talking a lot about the next frontier of the College and Career Academies and really pushing that experiential learning and those deep experiences and community connections into the middle and elementary levels. We have an announcement today on behalf of GAR Foundation that we think is going to greatly accelerate that effort. So GAR's mission is to help Akron become smarter, stronger, and more vibrant. And from that mission, it's obvious why we would partner with Akron Public Schools, who does more than they do, after all, to make Akron smarter and to help our community become stronger and more vibrant. For years, we have supported out-of-school time work with the schools, and we've supported various enrichment activities. But one thing about it always sort of bothered us, and that is that there wasn't equity across all students. So you might have a student in one school that has a number of really great, rich experiences in the community, and a student in another school who, you know, due to no fault of his or her own, doesn't have all those experiences. So we set out to solve that problem. Kirsten Toth on our team spent a lot of time with Superintendent James, with Assistant Superintendent Ellen McWilliams-Woods, and with the learning specialists at APS, to craft a solution for this problem and to help deliver high-quality experiences in an equitable way. Kirsten's going to tell you what they came up with.
Well, Christine and Superintendent James, I'm very pleased to announce the introduction of a $1.2 million investment in an initiative called Essential Experiences, designed to provide every APS student, pre-K through fifth grade, with an experience, a field trip, that connects their classroom learning to our local cultural assets. We're working very closely with our new partners in this work, and I'd like to take just a moment to introduce them to you, or reintroduce them to you, as many of you may know. I'm going to ask them to stand, and if you would hold your applause for just a moment. So the preschoolers have an experience with Art Sparks. Our first graders will all have an experience with the Akron Zoo. all of our second graders will attend experiences at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. Third grade, to our friends at Hale Farm and Village. For fourth grade, the Akron Art Museum. And for fifth grade, to Stan Hewitt Hall and Gardens. Thank you. Now, these are much more than your typical field trip. These are essential experiences, and think of them more as a field study rather than a field trip. They're experiences designed specifically with each teacher's lesson plan in mind and incorporating what David just talked about, college and career targets, age-appropriate technology, and experiences that connect to the classroom learning. As we were shaping this project, we each considered some of our own memorable experiences, and David, James, and I share our history at the Cleveland Public Schools, and he remembered the frontier candle making, and I remembered the planetarium, and Christine Mayer remembers learning about mass production at the Shears potato chip factory. So we'd like you to share your favorite experience from your memory using the hashtag #MyEssentialExperience, and together we can demonstrate the importance of connecting community to Akron Public Schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine and Kirsten. Now, the support provided by GAR Foundation is critical to many of the innovations that we as a district have been able to implement. And this latest opportunity will provide our elementary students with much-needed field experience at some of the area's unique community assets, allowing them to go deeper in their learning. And again, these won't simply be field trips. They'll be like field trips on steroids, these college and career readiness trips to begin their preparation to be the talent pipeline that this region deserves. In addition, we have also submitted a major grant application to the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation to support our College and Career Academy work in our middle schools. Now, if approved, this grant will support student service learning projects with our business and community partners. It will also help us further hone instructional strategies that will focus on student growth and preparedness for high school, including social-emotional strategies. Our goal is to ensure that our middle grade students are better prepared so they can maximize their high school, college, and career academy experience. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and I believe we should hear something by April. Now, numerous employers have raised red flags regarding their workforce needs, especially in healthcare, information technology, and advanced manufacturing. With the help of Connexus NEO, we have a better understanding of the need for our young people to get the proper education and experience required to be gainfully employed. I didn't see Sue Lacey, but if you're here or someone from Connexus, please stand and be recognized for all of the support in our community. Thank you. With my work with Sue and the team at Connexus, they understand how education, workforce, and economic development all intersect. Sue is also working with Ford Next Generation Learning in Akron Public Schools to expand our college and career academy work to our region. In October, students from Akron, Barberton, Kent, and Talmadge City schools, along with several manufacturing industry partners, traveled to the Henry Ford Museum and the Ford Motor Company's River Rouge plant in Dearborn, Michigan, to get a better understanding of manufacturing-related careers. I would like to thank local car part suppliers, OGS Industries, S&A Industries, and Steer Enterprises, Al Spitzer Ford of Cuyahoga Falls, and Claiborne Ford and Lincoln of Kent, both dealerships, the Greater Akron Chamber, and, of course, Connexus NEO, who all worked together to make this trip possible. And believe me, the feedback I received from our students is that the experience was unforgettable, not only exposing them, you know, to each other and career opportunities, but learning much more and going deeper and seeing those opportunities firsthand. Now on to another connection. The bold goals established by United Way of Summit County seek to improve third-grade reading, increase our graduation rates, increase financial empowerment, and reduce the impact of the opioid epidemic. Under the leadership of Jim Mullen, we have deepened our relationship with United Way. Aside from involvement with our college and career academy work, United Way continues to increase community engagement efforts to support the provision of wraparound services in the community, with our schools actually serving as hubs. Wraparound supports can help remove some of the barriers to student learning and can help families and individuals live a healthy, stable, and successful life. With the help of KeyBank, United Way and Akron Public Schools are collaborating to launch the first phase of what we are calling Family Resource Centers to provide wraparound supports in our neighborhoods. I would like to thank Jim Mullen and Tim Burke from KeyBank for their support of our schools and community. Thank you. Earlier this week at Firestone Community Learning Center, the Rite Aid Foundation announced a prescription drug and safety program. This program provides our students with access to online courses that address prescription drug abuse and misuse in our community. I would like to thank Tracy Henderson, director of the Rite Aid Foundation, for their help in combating this problem. In addition, U.S. Congressman Tim Ryan and State Representative and Ohio House Minority Leader Amelia Sykes for their valuable support. And speaking of wraparound supports, after more than a year of planning with the LeBron James Family Foundation, on July 30th, we opened the I Promise School. Perhaps you've heard about this. Personally, I am honored that LeBron has kept his promise to our local kids, bringing partners to the table to provide much-needed wraparound supports for our help with students, to help our students and their families. The I Promise School is serving as a catalyst for communities across the country to rethink how they can support our children and their education with the We Are Family philosophy. And I actually wore my We Are Family pin today. It has been humbling to see the many partners who have come to the table to help make our I Promise School a success. And again, connecting community to the classroom. And of course, none of this would be possible without a visionary Board of Education and my hardworking staff. But I also really want to acknowledge the support and hard work of Michelle Campbell and her team from the LeBron James Family Foundation. So please stand. Come on. Thank you. Michelle and her team have been with us from day one, and their support of us is really appreciated. And back to our teachers union and Pat Scheip, AEA president, because of your commitment and leadership, Pat, we have been able to open the I Promise School as an Akron public school with our excellent Akron teachers, teachers like Jennifer Wicks, our Teacher of the Year from Findlay CLC. The I Promise School is an example of our core belief that public schools work. And yes, I always stress that the I Promise School is an Akron public school. Why? Because too many times we are told that public schools cannot be innovative and simply don't work. We are proving the critics wrong. Thank you. And while I'm thanking folks, a special thank you to our citizens, many of you who provide the financial support for all 48 of our community learning centers every day. Now, we know that some of our families do struggle meeting basic needs. And for our students having to worry about where their next meal is coming from, to having the proper clothing or a place to live can wreak havoc on their academic success. So the wraparound supports provided to our families at the I Promise School are an example of what communities can do together to support some of our most challenged students. I want to thank the partners, the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank, Summit County Job and Family Services, Community Legal Aid, JP Morgan Chase, WKYC Channel 3, and many more organizations for the services that you provide to our I Promise students and their families. And to LeBron, thank you for your consistent leadership and dedication to this city and our kids. Again, it's all about connecting community to the classroom. Last year, I acknowledged the issues related to student behavior and how this can be a negative impact on learning. I reported on some of the programs that we have implemented, such as the PAX Good Behavior Game with the support of Jerry Craig and the ADM Board. Student discipline, however, is still a challenge. Recent events highlight the problem. Student disagreements on social media, rivalries among neighborhood groups, and other issues can make their way into our schools. No parent wants to have their child assaulted, whether at school, on the way to and from school, in the mall, at the grocery store, gas station. And no teacher comes to work every day expecting to be assaulted by a student, especially when they are there to support student success. Unfortunately, these issues continue to be a challenge for us. And I'd like to address, you know, recent news report about some conflicts in two of our area schools that made the news. And let me begin by giving us a pat on the back for having a reputation in the media for being quick to respond with public records and detailed information. We are indeed transparent and open. You can ask any of the reporters, you know, who may come to other organizations to get information. You'll understand why they come to APS so often. But sometimes in our haste, you know, to give that information, we might leave out some important information. So recent reports indicating a handful of schools experienced more than 100 incidents in the past year were a little misleading because the numbers reflected how many students were involved in these altercations, not the number of altercations. In fact, our latest data indicate 84% of our students do not get in trouble and have no suspension days per year. Then 10% are involved in one incident per year, 4% of our students have maybe three incidents per year, and 3% have more incidents per year. That's 3%. And I admit that we have much more work to do regarding how we respond to students who misbehave. And out of last year's issues regarding student discipline, we have reestablished a joint discipline committee with the Akron Education Association to work on innovative solutions. Our board has established an ad hoc committee on a portrait of a graduate through the lens of student discipline and behavior. And over the last 12 months, this committee, representing the board, community members, and our staff, concluded that social and emotional issues are primary factors in supporting student success. For that group, I would like to thank Jeremy and Christy Lyle and Bishop Joy Johnson for co-chairing that committee. We are collaborating with many community organizations to meet these social and emotional needs. And here are just a few. The Akron Metropolitan Housing Authority, iCare Mentoring, Project Grad Akron, the Summit County Juvenile Court, Summit County Public Health, our Summit Education Initiative, the Akron Promise. You know, these and many other partners collaborate with our teachers, helping our students achieve success. And speaking of success, I often feel like a proud dad of 21,000 students, and I am very anxious to share some of their successes with you today. Noel Dev Rye, a biomedical science student at North High School, was selected as one of five Presidential Scholar semifinalists for the state of Ohio last year. Also, North High senior Alejandra Trevino was selected by TEDx Akron as one of 14 speakers for the 2018 TEDx Akron live show at Goodyear Theater last April. She was one of 200 people to audition for this event. Jillian Allen, a Kenmore Garfield, in the Kenmore Garfield Culinary Arts Program, was accepted into the most prestigious culinary school in the country, the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park, New York. Our students and our junior ROTC cadets participated in numerous service projects in our community. Kudos to our third grade teacher, Becky Fiora, at King CLC. She used the Heimlich maneuver to save an 11-year-old student, Griffin Starcher, from choking. Griffin called Becky one of my favorite teachers. (Laughter) And a first in our exceptional performing arts programs was a performance by the Cleveland Orchestra Ensemble at Firestone CLC. I actually attended that, and it was fabulous. At Glover CLC, teacher Julie Paulus requested and received dozens and dozens of donated mirrors to fill the IM wall for students to see their reflections that were there, along with encouraging written notes to build self-esteem. Our students from Miller South School for the Visual and Performing Arts and Firestone CLC Akron School of the Arts received high honors at the National Scholastic Art Awards Committee in New York City. Miller South eighth grader Andra Benninghoff was awarded a National Gold Key for her drawing titled Pink Eye under the direction of Allison Rich. Two of our students had their artwork shipped to New York for the national award events and festivities, including the national ceremony at Carnegie Hall. Buchtel Middle School Business Professionals of America scholars did a fantastic job of representing Akron at the BPA National Leadership Conference in Dallas. One of several chess teams at Jennings CLC took the state title in its first try in a state competition. Go figure. And our robotics teams have collected four invitations to four world tournaments, actually. And to Tommy Bruno and the staff at our radio station 91.3 The Summit for the Rock and Recovery Scholarship Program, this new opportunity for high school students at APS focuses on raising awareness for substance abuse and recovery issues. And also, how about our National Inventors Hall of Fame STEM high school senior Jackson Tankersley? He went to his eighth state-level Ohio Academy of Science State Science Day last May at The Ohio State University, and that has to be a record. Tankersley presented his project for the science fair entitled Bioelectricity Changes in Urine Microbial Fuel Cells Inoculated with Livestock Solid Waste Slurry. And believe me, the reaction was the same when he came and presented at the board meeting. All I can say is wow, and I can't believe I got all that out and got it right. But congratulations to Jackson. Another one of my favorites, Firestone CLC Akron School of the Arts senior Raina Moran won the Playhouse Squares Dazzle Awards, I think, for the second year in a row. So, you know, our students have received many, many musical awards and arts awards, science awards, too numerous to mention. Eagle Scout Nick Soliday was a STEM senior last year, and for his Eagle service project, he coordinated the installation of outdoor lighting in the pavilion at the Wedgewood United Methodist Church in Ellet. He contacted local companies for donations of lights, wiring, and hardware, and under his direction, he scouted volunteers to finish the project in about 60 hours. We also snagged more awards for our STEM education than any other school district in the state in 2018. The Ohio Academy of Science awarded 6 of our schools and 90 of our teachers in the district with the Governor's Thomas Edison Awards for Excellence in STEM Education and Student Research. I think that deserves a round of applause. And speaking of academics, 41 of our elementary and middle school students received perfect scores on their state tests covering English, language, art, science, and math. Thank you. And kudos to the students and staff at the National Inventors Hall of Fame STEM High School and David Hill Community Learning Center. They are recipients of the Ohio Board of Education's 2018 Momentum Award. Now, the Momentum Award recognizes schools for exceeding expectations and meeting student growth for the year. And to Dina Popa and Tina McIntyre, principals at those two buildings, I thank you for your leadership. Also, at the district level, we continue to make progress with the implementation of our International Baccalaureate program in the Firestone Cluster. Joining Firestone, Litchfield, and Case Community Learning Centers, Resnick CLC received authorization to become an IB Primary Years Program School in January. This leaves King and Portage Path COCs, both of which are in the IB planning process, and we are hopeful that over the next 2 years, both schools will be approved to join the International Baccalaureate Primary Years program. So please join me in celebrating these successes, as well as all the other successes of our talented students and faculty achieve every day in Akron Public Schools. And speaking of community learning centers, in August we opened the new Case Community Learning Center. This fall we will welcome students and staff to the new Ellett CLC. And we are also finalizing our design plans for the new Kenmore Garfield CLC with a target completion date of summer 2022. Kenmore Garfield, I'm sure many of you are aware, is the last building that the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission will co-fund with Akron Public Schools. As our student population has fallen since the beginning of this partnership, so has state funding. Now, this leaves us with Firestone Park Elementary, Pfeiffer, Miller South, and North High Schools without any state funding. Currently, we are working with our Facility Services Department to keep these buildings in operation by making needed repairs. Funding for these capital needs will place an additional strain on our district finances. Now, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but as you know, school funding in Ohio is very cyclical and complicated. Ryan Pendleton, our treasurer, CFO, watches economic cycles because more than 35% of our revenue comes from property taxes. And since 2008, we have seen very little to no property value growth. During that time, we also had to pass a new operating levy. Unfortunately, we must prepare for the next recession. This recession will follow the Great Recession, which we have still not fully recovered from yet. As stated in our October 2018 five-year forecast, it indicated a continued trend towards increasing revenue shortfalls. But with the support of the board and the administration team, we balanced our budget. And while we have balanced the budget, we are not carrying a substantial reserve. And unfortunately, in Ohio, schools we depend on that reserve every 5 to 10 years. So Ryan and I have worked diligently to be as innovative as possible and return as many operational dollars to the classroom as possible. This is evidenced by balancing the budget for 3 years in a row despite deficit spending predictions, expanding our college and career academies, and targeted programming such as the I Promise School. 2019 has brought us a new governor and a new state budget for education. Every 2 years, the governor reviews and modifies the budget to represent the state's priorities. Our CFO has been working closely with Representatives Robert Cupp and John Patterson, a Republican and a Democrat, respectively, to develop a funding formula that is equitable to all Ohio school districts and students. This year, we are hopeful that Governor DeWine will take into advisement the Cupp and Patterson funding formula. However, we cannot totally depend on the state of Ohio to solve all of our funding problems. So we have to be more creative here locally. Last year, I announced our partnership with Palladena Health, a new healthcare delivery model. Palladena Health is a physician access care model providing our employees experienced primary care physicians. With no co-pays or co-insurance, collectively, our labor and management have minimized the cost barrier to accessing these healthcare services. On October 9th, we celebrated the grand opening of a Palladena Health Clinic at 400 West Market for our employees. I'd like to thank Chris Miller, Chief Executive Officer of Palladena Health, and Paul Catania, the Senior Vice President, Managing Director of the Akron-Canton Market from the Oswalt Companies, our insurance consultant, for bringing us this innovative solution. So far, our move to Palladena Health has been positive. A recent survey indicates that 63% of the respondents reported improved health after joining the program. 95% of the respondents reported a positive overall experience with the program, and since we started the program, we have 1,600-plus members enrolled, representing 28% of our eligible population. None of this would be possible without our 6 employee unions, and for those union representatives who are present, please stand so I can say thank you for your collaboration. Oh, wow, I didn't think I would get through all that. So finally, because I was told to make it short, finally, in closing, what I see today is a community-wide effort to improve the lives of our students, to help them become prepared for adulthood through a focused approach on career options. We will continue to face challenges, but by working together, we shall overcome. And as we close Black History Month today, I am reminded of how the past actually does repeat itself. Because back in June of 1965, Dr. King gave the commencement speech at Oberlin College entitled Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. He relayed the story of Rip Van Winkle by Washington Irving. Irving was born in New York in 1783 and died in 1859. In addition, Irving also wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So Dr. King recalled how Rip Van Winkle slept for 20 years and awoke to a whole new world. But he also pointed out some details that he felt most people overlooked. You see, in the story, when Rip Van Winkle set out on his journey to go up the mountain, he passed an inn that had a sign hanging on the outside with a painting of King George III of England. After sleeping for 20 years and on his way back down, Rip Van Winkle passed the inn again, but this time it had a painting of George Washington on it. Rip Van Winkle didn't know who George Washington was because, according to Dr. King, he slept through a revolution. King's message to those Oberlin College graduates back in 1965 was this, and I quote, "There are all too many people who, in some great period of social change, fail to achieve the new mental outlooks that the new situation demands. There is nothing more tragic than to sleep through a revolution," and I end quote. My challenge to you today is to help our young people prepare for the revolution that's actually taking place today. Our world is changing, jobs, technology, finance, society in general. Key phrases include the gig economy, big data, Uberization, cryptocurrency, which I still don't understand. But it's important for our kids to understand that they need an education today to be prepared for the world of tomorrow. So please, please don't let them fall asleep, to wake up and find that the world has passed them by. What Dr. King said back then at Oberlin College still rings true today. So thank you for all of your dedication and support. Our young people need us now more than ever. Now let's get to work and continue connecting community to classroom. God bless and thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions from the audience. If you have any questions, fill out the white cards on your table, and we'll get them up here. I'm going to start off. You spoke about funding on the state level. Mm-hmm. The legislature is currently looking at school funding. If we put you in charge of the legislature, what would you like to see them do?
Well, unfortunately, in school funding, there are always going to be winners and losers because, you know, an over-reliance on property taxes will take, you know, districts that have, you know, rich property valuations and pit them against districts that have lower property valuations. And I just don't know if it'll be possible for us to move away from that, maybe some kind of combination. But there has to be a base level, I think, of education and what would be fair. I don't think that amount now is fair. As you know, I said today, there are a lot of social emotional issues with kids, and education is different today. But a formula that could help pay for many of the things that particularly districts like Akron, you know, really need, health care in our schools. You know, I'm using the I Promise School as an example. Many of those supports really need to be funded. So I think raising the base amount of funding is what's really required.
Let's move it up a notch. If we made you governor, what are your expectations from our new governor? He's just taken office here recently.
I really don't want to answer that. Well, okay. So I'm not saying this is what would happen, but, you know, take K-12 education, take early learning, and take post-secondary education. You know, the problem in our state, I just look at the retirement systems. There's a school employees, there's a police, a fire, the state teachers, OPRS, and I'm like, you're paying, investment bankers to manage your portfolio. Why isn't it just all combined into one? If they're public employees, who cares what division they work for? Okay, now people throw things at me who might be in those systems, but I'm sorry. The other one is, our partnership with University of Akron, Kent State, and Stark State, we really need to blur the divisions between these institutions because in many cases we're duplicating services. We do many of the same things. And I guess in my, when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which my staff knows that I'll send them a text or an email about some idea that I might wake up with. But, we have to look at these institutions differently. And I think that's the hard part. Everyone wants to hold on to what they have or have had or have experienced. And we need to look at things, I think, a little bit differently and think a little bit out the box. Should there be more collaboration between us and the post-secondary world? Absolutely. I don't think, every time we have to have these separate buckets of everything, and there are some places where we could actually collaborate more and save money and preserve resources.
Someone in the audience wants to know, what are you doing to help families in the North Hill area? The questioner mentions the biggest needs include classes for parents to become naturalized citizens and transportation.
So we really do collaborate with the International Institute on a lot of that, opening, buildings, for classes and things like that. We have been in contact with members of the Nepali community because they have some concerns about those issues as well. But, our partnership with the city of Akron, these are community learning centers, and so they can be open for the community for many of those things. And we provide a huge benefit to our immigrant communities just through the interpreters that we employ to help our kids. All of the information that goes out to our families is, I can't remember, 20 plus languages. So there are resources, but I think, a lot of times people don't understand all of the things that we do. And, I think we have to do a better job of communicating some of those because we've offered to help other organizations with translation services. Wherever we can help in the community, we're there.
You mentioned Kenmore area. Someone wants to know if there are any other schools that are planning to become combined high schools.
No, not right. I don't really. Okay, so here's the problem that I have is we've, taken our inventory and shrunk it down in our last five-year forecast. There's a chart that shows the actual capacity for students and our current enrollment. And there was a huge gap in that. So there was much more capacity than we had students. And we have shrunk that gap. Right now we're at a place where I don't have a lot of wiggle room. So the schools that are open, for the most part, unless there's some big shift in population, are going to stay open. And I don't have any plans to combine any other high schools. I just don't see that on the table.
Seems like every time I pick up my favorite local newspaper, I'm reading a story about testing changes. What would you like to see happen with proficiency testing?
Well, I sat on the state superintendent's graduation requirements committee, and there was a lot of talk about testing there. Unfortunately, I think in life, when you look at your kids, okay, how someone performs on a test on any specific given day has, to me, nothing to do with where they're going to end up 15 or 20 years into the future, because kids are not like these set things that you can just input stuff. They react to the environment. They grow. They change. Their brains flip when they move into teenage years, and some of them never get out of the teenage years until they're in their 30s. So, I'm all for assessing what kids know or should know, but it's a lot different today because there's so much more information. We had to know, you had to get the map and look at all the states and remember all this stuff. When I went to school, well, there's too much information to remember. You can pull this thing out and get the information in a few seconds. And so, sometimes our legislators think in terms of, like I said at the beginning, you know, a lot of my framework has had, even my own kids tell me, I got it. You're old, Daddy, you need to change. Okay, whatever. But, you know, a lot of that stuff for adults, whether you're a legislator or a school superintendent or a board member, we bring those experiences to us to education. And I just don't think that, you know, the types of tests that we have kids take truly measure what they're capable of doing.
I just have one final question for you. Now that LeBron's playing for the Lakers, are you staying up later to watch those West Coast games?
Yeah, that's a little difficult. Yes, but, you know, he is a wonderful human being, and I know he took a lot of heat from, you know, people about what's happening in Akron, but I think what people were missing is the longstanding relationship that we have with him here, and that never is going to change. He has proven time and time again that he's a supporter of our community and especially a supporter of our kids, and that's number one, you know, in my book, so I just like to give him another shout out and say thank you, LeBron.